We probably need to talk about something for which we can provide some kind of context for folks getting started.
I don't know. The music hasn't played yet.
Okay.
This doesn't count. None of that counted.
It doesn't count.
Oh, now it counts.
It was pretend.
Hello, everyone. It's Molly Wood. Daniel wisely waiting until 3:30 and 33 seconds so that we can finish whatever random conversation
ramblings.
We're having. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Daily Edition. It's the end of the day, man. We are rambling a lot. It is Thursday, which means if you are anything like us, you have been almost completely hollowed out by the news week. You're like a mango skin by now. Hollowed out shell.
I'm allergic to mangoes.
Oh, trivia.
Trivia. Kimberly's allergic to mangoes. Don't use that against me. but we will bring the chuckles somehow, some way. We are going to make you smart, do the news fix, and then somehow, some way, make you smile. And Molly pretty much going to provide all of the news fixes because you have many,
well, it's
kind
of great. Kimberly and I made a deal because I was like, God, I can't choose anything. And Kimberly was like, that's fine. You can have all the news because I just want to talk about the Make Me Smile that I'm not going to give away. So I went crazy because, well, you know, it's not just me. It's not like a monologue. We're going to talk about the news together. In fact, my first link, I'm pretty sure I got from you. Like, I think you might have posted this in Now Reading. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's one of our Slack channels.
That said, I think it was the first place I saw it, and then it was sent to me by like 113 friends, and I sent it to 15 others because
I sent it to my sister.
I mean, it's a piece in the New York Times with kind of a terrible headline. We've hit a pandemic wall. But what it's about is data that says that we are that if you are feeling stressed and anxious, that's everybody. That for the first time in last week's Kaiser Family Foundation poll, a majority of American adults, 53%, believes that the pandemic has taken a toll on their mental health. This time last year, 1 in 12 American adults reported symptoms of an anxiety disorder. Now it's more than 1 in 3. And those numbers climbed to 68% if you just look at African Americans and Black Americans who are basically living,
I mean, we're generally stressed all the time, but this is more.
Right. But this is more. And I don't know. It's a really sad and tragic and terrible thing to read. But it also, as evidenced by the fact that I sent it to so many people and so many people sent it to me, I think is weirdly comforting when you kind of know that other people are in the same boat.
It's validating, right? Because I feel like in the last week or two, I myself, and I've heard this from other people, you kind of just feel like you hit a wall. And lots of people, you know, hit their walls at various places. I feel like everyone's kind of cycling through their various stages of dealing with this pandemic. But it seems like in the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing from way more people than I have throughout the pandemic about, okay, I'm just tapping out for a bit. I can't with this anymore. And I think part of it is because, you know, the data just, I think we're all starting to come to the realization that this is life for at least another year, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a lot. And everybody's dealing with kind of their own mental health moment about it and either hopefully getting professional help if you can, or having a support network around you if you're so lucky, or, you know, meditating or just getting enough sleep, whatever it is you're doing for self-care. But to see it in print that it's not just you is validating. And I think we all need a little bit of validation in this moment.
I think so. I really do. And I think that I hope that what happens after we hit the wall, at least what I'm finding, is that I'm starting to have a little bit of Grandma Pat now. Like, all right, this is the point at which my, you know, bossy, tiny grandmother would be like, all right, enough. Time to get back to work.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Cows ain't gonna milk themselves. And I at least am finding that because, you know, it's sort of like we're all going through the stages of grief, right? Like, the anger is still there, probably just going to always be there. But with this kind of acceptance and the shared realization that so many people are feeling the same thing, at least for me, is coming a like, all right, well, if this is what it is, then it's time to figure out how to make it work.
I'll plug an interview that I did back in early July with Megan Devine about grieving and the coronavirus and in some ways grieving the loss of the economy. She was so thoughtful mm-hmm. about, you know, how we as a culture are processing this moment. So, yeah, grief, it's real. But, you know, yes, we need to get up and pluck ourselves up and milk the cows. But, you know, mental health is a very serious thing. I hope we can include some resources in the show notes for people who are struggling and in crisis. There are a lot of resources available if you're feeling down.
Yep. No, that's absolutely true. And good point, because, yes, just getting back to work is not always enough. Mm-hmm. I also, and if only to underline how real the virus continues to be, how relentless the math is, and how much longer it's going to take for us to, I don't know what, right, be in a post-pandemic world. Mm-hmm. I really found it notable that the Ohio governor, Mike DeWine, announced today that he's tested positive for coronavirus. He doesn't have any symptoms. He only found out that he was positive because he was being tested as part of the standard protocol to meet President Trump on the tarmac of the Cleveland airport. And given how cautious Governor DeWine has been, he was one of the earliest governors in the country. You know, despite many Republican governors not taking this approach, he shut the state down. He was really aggressive about shutting down schools. He's been very slow to reopen. And if anything, it just is a reminder that this thing is everywhere and it's going to take a really long time. And the asymptomatic spread, there was data out today in the New York Times from South Korean researchers who seemed to be offering much more definitive proof that people without symptoms still carry as much virus as those with symptoms and for almost as long.
Yeek.
Not to bring us all the way back down, but it's going to be a while. Going to be a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So keep washing your hands and wearing masks.
Yeah.
All right. You still had all the news. We're going to keep going in the Molly news fix zone. Go, Molly.
Well, yeah, I wanted to. OK, so just pretend this is Kimberly's story. We're going to get to Make Me Smile in a minute. But you brought up that explosion in Beirut the other day. And I want to follow up on it because it is such, I mean, it continues to be such an appalling story. It is such a tragic loss of life, but it's such, like, as we sit here in this country and say we've bungled this pandemic response and this is the, you know, position that federal leadership has put us in, we are uncovering every day, apparently, evidence that the leadership in Beirut allowed basically a building-sized bomb to just mm-hmm. sit there for years.
It's astonishing to, you know, we talk about our crumbling infrastructure all the time in media and how, you know, we need to repair our roads and bridges. And, you know, you talk sometimes in the rest of the world about corruption regarding big infrastructure projects. But this is what it looks like when you neglect your infrastructure, which is the, you know, necessary things that were needed to take care of all of this fertilizer at the port, and you layer on corruption with it, and you layer on an economy in deep, deep distress, and a lack of trust in the government to do the right thing, not to mention sort of like some real issues with political factions. But yeah, it's just, when your governments, this kind of gets back to the conversation that we had the other day about inequality. When your government stops working for you, mm-hmm. there are so many negative fallouts. And, you know, in this case, it literally blew up and yep. took out half the city. And, I mean, friends of mine who are there or who have family there, you know, I told you about my friend whose family has been struggling with the economy there. You know, her family now has a wrecked home, and what are they going to do? You know, mm-hmm. the after a hurricane here or something, you know, you get your loan, you get your emergency aid, you hopefully can get a loan, you get some kind of relief to rebuild. Well, how do you do that when your economy is basically shot?
Yep.
It's a downer.
I mean, it really, it's very rare, I think, for, we talk about a slow devolution sometimes of an economy or the, you know, the impacts of corruption and inattention that take a long time to unfold. It is very rare for it to be as abrupt and horrifying as an explosion of this size, but it is.
Yeah. The satellite images were just, oh my gosh. I mean, the photos on the ground are, of course, heartbreaking and tragic, but you can really see the scale of it when you look at those satellite images. So hopefully, yep. I know they're still engaged in the rescue efforts. Hopefully, more folks are on their way to recovery. Hopefully, the country's on its way to recovery, and, you know, best wishes for all those folks.
And we are on our way to make us smile.
Yes.
So this makes Kimberly.
It makes me so happy. It makes me so happy. Just a couple of hours ago, I saw the news that there is going to be a reboot of the movie A League of Our Own, but as a TV series on Amazon. And I'm terribly, terribly excited about this for a couple of reasons. Number one, A League of Our Own, which for those who, you know, live under rocks and such, is a movie about the women who started playing professional baseball in World War II while all the guys were away, you know, fighting the war, and the stories of all these different women playing baseball based on, you know, true story, real life, great movie. So there's going to be a TV series kind of taking a little bit of a turn from the storyline of that, including exploring, according to some of the articles and press releases about it, more themes around race and sexuality related to these women baseball players. Now, here's why this is particularly interesting. Molly, if you will click on the Twitter link that I have included for you there.
I already did. I did.
So this is what the internet asked for. And we got it.
Oh, I didn't even look at the date. Oh, that's amazing.
Yes. So this is back on December the 18th, 2018, and this is just the first time that I recall seeing it. Maybe somebody asked for it before then, but this is what I noticed. Matthew Cherry, he is an illustrator and a director, and he's done all these really interesting creative projects. But he had a tweet in December of 2018 that said, imagine a league of their own sequel that starts with the scene of the black woman throwing the ball back from the stands, and you stay with her, and it becomes a biopic on the three black women that played in the Negro leagues back then. So, in the movie A League of Their Own, sorry, I was saying A League of Our Own because I have completely internalized it as being mine as well.
They don't totally exist. I wasn't going to correct it because it was kind of beautiful.
In the movie A League of Their Own, there is this scene where they're sort of warming up and the ball gets away from them, and these black women who are not allowed into the stadium because, you know, racism and segregation, all of the things. And the woman throws the ball back, and it's like a really powerful throw, and all the women are just like, oh my goodness, look at that. But that's it, and the scene goes away. So it looks like they're going to be exploring some of those themes, and I'm looking forward to it. And the internet has once again manifested something into the universe, and I will take it.
I mean, seriously, this looks like it is going to be wonderful and kind of just what everyone needs a little bit. Some good feeling and success.
Well, and also it takes us back to a time when the country actually like came together to, you know, keep our spirits up in the midst of something really, really terrible happening in the world. So, you know,
it's
great.
And that opportunity, even though it may have been taken away, was extended. Mm. Opportunity existed in a way that it had not previously.
For some.
We're gonna keep smiling for some.
Let's keep it positive.
Keep smiling a little bit. We're gonna keep it positive.
Racism was there, but there were still some good things.
Racism is there, you know. I mean, the women didn't have all the rights, but at least they got to play baseball for a little while. Okay. Anyway, that is it for us. This is going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. The internet delivers.
Yes.
Questions, comments, voice memos, anything else, your tweets, your wonderful emails to us. You guys are just, you make us feel great every day. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. Tomorrow we will be feeling great live on YouTube for Economics on Tap. I'm going to have to raise my cocktail game because Kimberly brings it.
I will be bringing
it. So be sure to check out.
Get
she
ready.
Will be, I can already tell. It's okay. I have like a mountain of fresh mint and I'm going to have to make some drinks out of it.
I have a mint plant.
Yeah, my mint plant is out of control. It's eating all the plants. It's Audrey, too. Anyway,
it's a weed.
The Marketplace APM YouTube channel tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. To catch that live stream, we'll have the link in our show notes.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Heathcote produces the video with the help of our intern, Ethan Peretz. And thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
Today's program was engineered by Daniel Ramirez. He just kept us going. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez, who are so talented. The executive director of On Demand and senior producer this week is Satara Nieves.
Yay. I should go rewatch League of Our Own.
I know. I kind of want to also. We were actually talking about Gina Davis because we're making a bunch of archery jokes recently because there was a hot tub and then you had to be like all Saturday Night Live, like archery and... Hardly anyone knew who she was. And I was like, she catches the ball in League of Their Own. Come on. Like, it's like, that's such a great scene.
It was a great scene. It's a great movie.
I have educating to do in my family.
All over the country.
We need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.